And to start this off, I would like to turn this over to leader of our SICE Directorate, Assistant Director Margaret Bartonowski. Margaret, please.
Thanks very much. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone. I'm so glad you were able to make it here today. My name is Margaret Martinosi. As was mentioned, I'm the Assistant Director. I lead the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Directorate at NSF. And I do so as a rotator from Princeton University, where I'm currently on leave, but where I've been on the faculty for 26 years. In those 26 years of research, I've had the wonderful opportunity to partner with industry at many points. And so it's thrilling to get to be a part of this webinar, which is a very strong partnership with industry and NSF. So right now, I believe that on the Zoom, we have Matt Motka, who you heard briefly, Darlene Fisher, Alex Jones, Anne von Lehmann, Eric Brunvand, and Gurdeep Singh from NSF. And we're very pleased to also have from VMware, David Tenenhaus, Chris Ramming, Victor Fioriou, and I think perhaps some others joining us. And I want to give a big welcome to my VMware colleagues. Thanks also and welcome to all of you out there in the webinar for joining us here to learn about this joint NSF-VMware partnership on the next generation of sustainable digital infrastructure, NGSDI. So this new NSF-VMware solicitation that we're discussing today and that we'll field questions on is intended to bring together research in these and other programs to focus on one big question, which is, what fundamental and systematic approaches in measurement, in design, in development, and management of the digital infrastructure resources and workloads will enable significant progress towards maximizing sustainability of the digital infrastructure with minimal impact on the things that we normally worry about, including programmer productivity and the infrastructure's performance and scalability. So the idea of this program is to foster transformative research in both fundamental and systemic approaches to bring dramatic increases in the environmental sustainability of the digital infrastructure and to lead to practical methodologies and tools. So where are we going to go next? David Tenenhaus is going to discuss VMware's observation of some technology trends that led to their interest in this joint program and the associated opportunities and excitement for the advances that we hope it holds and enables. What I can say first and foremost is the degree to which this kind of partnership provides for important interactions between NSF, VMware, and the awarded PIs to understand real-world contexts and problems that are faced by industry. Even though the research is pre-competitive, direct interaction with the VMware program directors on these jointly funded projects can provide a venue for understanding and enabling tech transfer. As a researcher, as I mentioned, these kinds of interactions are something that I found valuable in the past because the academic research community on its own can't pose and answer all the questions. It helps if we can do so in partnership. As you've seen with our new director, the notion of partnerships is deeply important to NSF, as well as to our researchers, to industry, and to our nation. So NSF was founded to do basic research, but also to promote the progress of science, to advance national health, prosperity, and welfare, to secure national defense, and so forth. To do all of that, we need to actually transfer, work the full spectrum from basic research to applied outcomes. And so there's plenty of people that are talking about the role of these kinds of partnerships, and we're very excited about them. Next slide, please. So through this solicitation, we're hoping to foster this multidisciplinary research community at the confluence of networking and computer systems. We also hope, as you heard me say, and as you'll hear in the rest of this webinar, to transition research results from funded projects into engineering practice, to test them in reality. So the partnership begins begins. The partnership continues a wonderful collaboration between NSF and VMware. This is just the next chapter of it, to combine NSF's experience of developing and managing successful, large, and diverse portfolios with VMware's strong capability in the area of sustainability. So I always like to be in the position of kicking off these meetings and then sticking around to hear the rest of it because it's so exciting to me. I'm very excited to kick off this meeting that marks the third joint research effort by the VMware and NSF partnerships. And with that, I'm happy to turn it over to David Tennenhaus, who will have the next word. He's Chief Research Officer at VMware. So David, thanks.
Thank you, Margaret, and it's an honor and really exciting to be here. I've actually been just really keen to see us launch a sustainability effort with NSF. The National Science Foundation's been at the forefront of basic and applied research, and we're just thrilled to partner with you and the whole SCIES research community in this effort to really advance our collective approach to sustainable computing. In addition to thanking all the VMware folks who've been helping with the solicitation, I want to express my appreciation to the great NSF team. We've worked with many of you over an extended period of time. Erwin Janchandani, Gurdeep Singh, Eric Grunwald, Darlene Fisher, Matt Mutka, Anne von Lehmann, Alex Jones, and Kichka Petrova are some of the people that have been involved. And we're really excited and enjoy working with them. As you mentioned, this is actually the third partnership between NSF and VMware. The earlier ones began in 2016, 2018. So we're kind of on a nice cadence here. So I'd like to sort of just say a little bit about VMware's kind of history in sustainable computing. First and foremost, our founders had a sort of strong personal bike to work type of interest in sustainability. So it was kind of built into our DNA early on. And then as things turned out, virtualization turned out to be a great tool for sustainability because virtualization drove server consolidation, allowing people to consolidate many workloads onto one server. So that now saves all of the energy that would go into running that server, cooling the servers, all the servers that you don't have to use when you consolidate those workloads is saved. And all the embedded carbon, all the energy and carbon that would have been expended to create those servers, to actually build the hardware and to build, all the extra data center space and all the extra HVAC and power conditioning and everything else that would have gone into having many, many more servers. So that's been a really big win for VMware, and I'd say for sustainability overall. As we extended into other areas like storage virtualization, you get a similar benefit, right? You save all those storage devices, again, their energy from an operating point of view and the embedded carbon. So it's been sort of a really great, win-win, both a business for VMware while also contributing to sustainability. We have, as I said, a sort of even broader, not just a commitment to sustainability, but a commitment to being a force for good. So something I do want to emphasize is our interest in seeing the results of this research dedicated to the public. If there's great research results that VMware can run with and productize, that's great. If other parts of the industry go and productize it as well, that's even better. That's all downstream. We really want to see this fundamental research that can basically rise all boats. So we're very excited about this. To provide a little more background here, there's a history in this space where LBNL are kind of the folks that produce the regular data center energy reports. And starting, in the early 2000s is kind of when the first of these started coming out. And there was a tremendous amount of angst, gnashing of teeth, because data centers' energy consumption was growing at a phenomenal rate. Now, we were all kind of actually excited because data centers were growing at a phenomenal rate. Our field was growing at a phenomenal rate. But meanwhile, our energy consumption, people were drawing these graphs about how soon, the IT industry would be, consuming as much energy as many countries, et cetera. But we got onto a much better curve, right? So since 2005, the growth rates actually plateaued at a nice rate. And a lot of the reasons for that were what I think of as a first generation of innovation. It was actually many innovations. As I've indicated, virtualization was a key contributor to that. And as we virtualize more and more workloads, a larger and larger fraction of the workloads in the data center, it sort of helped, you know, plateau that curve, or at least asymptote it somewhat. There was also great work on redesigning power management at multiple levels, you know, sort of in terms of the servers themselves, and being able to adjust their power levels, and also the power management and power conditioning throughout the data center, and then great work on HVAC systems, et cetera, to improve on the cooling, et cetera. So we had sort of multiple innovations that got us to that plateau. That's the great news. It's a wonderful story. The catch is that most of that first generation of innovation is itself starting to asymptote. There's not that much room to improve the PUEs left in really well-run data centers. So we can get more of the data centers to be well-run, but we're kind of running out of room there. We can and are continuing to virtualize more and more of the workloads. We're running out of room there. And meanwhile, demand for computing is continuing to explode. And we have new workloads, particularly machine learning, that have a voracious demand right now for computation, which if we don't do something, is going to translate into a voracious demand for energy and be a sustainability challenge. So if we could go to the next slide. I think, here we really want to see some transformative research that's going to get us, how are we going to keep this from going from the plateau to another, strong exponential growth? How are we going to asymptote this next round, right? We don't want to stop people from using more and more computing to do good things. In fact, a lot of that computation itself goes into improving sustainability of other things. So for example, if people use computation to improve the efficiency of their factory, right, they may be dramatically improving the overall sustainability picture. However, they are increasing the computation demand, and so we want to make sure that can be done in a sustainable way as well. So that's kind of, I think, something we as a field need to bite off and chew on and do. We are hoping that this program will lead to some really, new breakthroughs and fundamental approaches. Also looking at the entire system and looking at the totality of the digital infrastructure. So we're looking for people to sort of improve the sustainability of what we, the teams referred to here as the digital infrastructure. And by that, they really are meaning, kind of all of the stuff that goes into providing a computational networking and storage base. Now, having said that, what we're not really looking for, and the team's going to get into this in more detail in a moment, is for people to go redesign the mechanical stuff, et cetera, and do a whole bunch of mechanical engineering, right? So the notion is, how can we use, all computation, the great stuff that the science research community does, to improve the sustainability of that overall digital infrastructure. So there's a difference here between the infrastructure we want to impact and the tools we use to impact it, which we hope will come from the SAIS community. So, with that, I'm hoping we will not just be able to sort of keep the curve level, but actually now start knocking the curve down. So, let's set our goals here, not just to offset the new increased demand for computation that we're seeing from machine learning and potentially from other workloads, but to actually knock the curve down so we get on the path towards carbon neutrality and eventually carbon freedom. So that's sort of the, our aspiration here from VMware. What I'd like to do now is turn things over to Gurdeep Singh, who's the director for the Computer and Networking Systems, or I just think of a CNS division in SAIS.
Thank you, David. So my name is Gurdeep Singh. I'm the director for the Division of Computer Network Systems. I joined this March. I am on leave from Syracuse University. So as you mentioned, this is the third partnership with VMware. So I was actually program director here at NSF when the first one was launched and was very honored to be part of that in 2016. So it's great to see this partnership progress, and VMware has been a great partner in the joint research that has been accomplished. So as David just mentioned, the overall goals of this solicitation. So I want to reemphasize that this solicitation focuses on software layer sustainability of sustainable digital infrastructure. So the proposals with a narrow focus on non-software components and disciplines will be considered out of scope. So in order to set the objectives for the second generation of research in sustainable digital infrastructure, it's critical that new metrics and benchmark be defined first. So these metrics and benchmarks should capture the sustainability challenges of the entire computation chain, going well beyond the scope of the first generation matrix, where power usage effectiveness focused on maximizing just the server efficiency. So in summary, the next generation of innovations for increased sustainability that we are looking for, it should include broader considerations, and we have provided a list here. So it's metrics and benchmark for systemic computational efficiency, software bloat and inefficiency, distributed resource allocation, capacity building and provisioning, compute storage network trade-offs and placement, hardware software co-optimization, service level agreement trade space, renewable energy source optimization, hardware lifetime optimization, and renewable energy driven workload shifting. Next slide, please. So, as it was brought up both by Margaret and by David earlier, the central question that we want to address is as follows. What fundamental and systematic approaches in measurement, design, development, and management of digital infrastructure resources and workload will enable significant progress towards maximizing sustainability of the digital infrastructure with minimal impact on traditional concerns such as programmer productivity and digital infrastructure performance and scalability? So how do we get to these? How do we answer this central question? So for this, the researchers or those proposing to this program, they should consider fundamental nature of the problem, the multiple aspects of sustainability, and the multitude of competing goals of digital infrastructure management. So these competing goals are going to be in terms of the economics, performance, efficiency, and sustainability. Next slide, please. So as we are looking at these research questions, there are several dimensions or research vectors that we are interested in. And in particular, there are three that we have focused on here. So one is metrics and benchmark that capture the multiple aspect of sustainability, plus methods to measure these metrics for a wide range of applications and infrastructure architectures. Second are approaches to incorporate sustainability concern across the full development and operations lifecycle. And third, methods to manage aggregate digital infrastructure ecosystem and workloads with the goal of maximizing the sustainability matrix. So these research vectors that we have noted in the solicitation, they are illustrative of potential key areas of research, but they are not meant to be prospective or to limit the nature and scope of your proposed work. So researchers, they should feel free to propose solutions that address broader digital infrastructure sustainability challenges in novel and innovative ways. So there is a wealth of emerging techniques that could be harnessed to address these challenges that the three dimensions that we listed in the previous slide. So examples of such technique include passive and active measurements of systems at the system, local, and wide area levels, metric aggregation services, statistical analysis and inference, modeling and learning techniques to assist automated control, complex resource management and optimization, process and systems isolation to enable control of wide range of parameters and scale to include sustainability objectives, and technologies of agile development and convergence of development and production environments. So while these above are just examples of emerging techniques that may be relevant to solving sustainability challenges, these should not be considered as preferred or an exclusive set. So proposers are again encouraged to consider any combination of techniques to support approaches that fundamentally increase the understanding of and solutions for digital infrastructure sustainability. So what are our expectations? So this illustration is looking for proposals for disruptive, innovative approaches and ideas that have potential to significantly advance the state of the art. So again, we are specifically excluding research that is primarily in evolutionary improvements over existing states. So we're not interested in incremental, but we are looking at disruptive, innovative approaches. So this solicitation also, you know, seeks proposals that tackle game-changing system sustainability approaches. Proposers are encouraged to design a research plan with the potential for significant impact on meaningful sustainability metrics. So this solicitation again focuses on software layer sustainability. Again, we are re-emphasizing this. So proposals which have a narrow focus on non-software components and disciplines are considered out of scope. So for example, strictly hardware architectures or power, water, cooling, you know, these are some things which David also alluded to during his presentation. So in this illustration, again, we are expecting the proposals to develop prototypes of their proposed approaches, to explore implementation aspects of their designs, and to empirically demonstrate the effectiveness of their solutions. So we want to emphasize that we do not want the community to reinvent the wheel where possible. And to avoid unnecessary reinventions, proposers should leverage existing software tools and framework where possible. So in particular, researchers, they are encouraged to use existing infrastructures for deploying and testing prototypes of their work and for collecting data to demonstrate the effectiveness of their approach. So such infrastructure include, but they are not limited to, the NSF Future Cloud Projects, Chameleon and Cloud Lab, and also the NSF-funded Cloud Bank. So all of these provide NSF-funded researchers and educators with access to commercial cloud computing platforms. However, if the proposal finds that the existing frameworks have fundamental shortcomings that cannot be overcome by a build from these existing resources, then the proposers are welcome to develop new frameworks. But they should carefully explain what the gap is and why do they need to do this entirely new infrastructure. So as you know, we always looking for intellectual merit as well as broader impacts. So proposers should strive to be concrete about their plans to achieve broader impact activities. So these are, you know, impact of any foundational research. Of particular interest are plans for disseminating research results, including open source software, production and publication of data sets, and activities leading to real world experimentation, measurement, and deployments. So wherever appropriate, proposers should be clear as to how they plan to navigate broader policy, economic, and social considerations, which may influence, drive, or limit the impact of their research. Proposers may need to identify team members with specific expertise to navigate these considerations. So, you know, so careful attention must be placed to, you know, the broader impact of all of the work that is being proposed. So with this now, I'm next going to turn it over to Matt Mutka, who's a program director at CNS. He's going to now further delve into the solicitation in terms of the requirement and the review process. So Matt, please take over.
Okay, thanks Gurdeep. So I'll just walk you through the proposal submission and the review process, the award process, and we'll talk about the management of awarded projects. And at the end, we'll have questions and answers. So I'll start by noting that the information that you should have immediately. So this program solicitation is NSF 20594, which you can easily find through a web search. And it's also posted on the SAIS website. And as with any new NSF solicitation, you should read it carefully as requirements may be different than from other solicitations. And also note that the deadline is 5 p.m. your local time on November the 4th, 2020. Submit them to your sponsored research office in plenty of time just to catch any mistakes in order to meet the deadline. NSF and VMware together expect to award approximately two projects, and each project may request up to $3 million over 3 years, and we expect the awards to be made in early 2021. Proposals may only be submitted by institutes of higher education, and these include universities and 2 and 4 year colleges, as well as community colleges. Proposals may include an international branch campus of a U.S. institution of higher education, including those through subawards and consulting arrangements, but only if the project activities cannot be performed at the U.S. campus. Individuals may participate as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel in no more than one proposal submitted in response to the solicitation. If any individual is found on two proposals, the proposal with the earliest submission date will be accepted and all others will be returned without review. Make sure that individuals on your team have consented to participate on a project and are not listed on another proposal. So we're looking for manageable sized teams with individuals with demonstrable expertise that is needed to successfully conduct the research. And these are NSF research grants, so we would expect to see graduate students funded as a part of the project. You may also include software engineers and programmers on solicitation as needed. And note that you have up to 20 pages for the project description. And as always, a check for font, spacing, margin limitations, compliance issues with proposals. So certain things you should not forget: the required postdoc mentoring plan if you are funding a postdoc. And you have up to 2 pages for the collaboration plan, which you must include in the proposal if there's more than one researcher on the project. This collaboration plan is an important document in that it notes the appropriateness of each member of the team, including the areas of expertise and the role of the research. The document also describes overall management and coordination mechanisms and interdependencies among the tasks, which help clarify how the tasks hang together. And finally, there should be a reference to budget items that support collaboration. We expect you to include funds to make the collaboration real. And please read the solicitation for more details of what is expected to appear in the document. You may not include letters of general support for the project or its expected outcomes, but you may include letters of collaboration pledging, for example, data or access to resources or facilities. This program will operate under a public dedication intellectual property model. Importantly, the solicitation specifies which open source licenses meet the program objectives, and the solicitation states a requirement that the research results be publicly disseminated through an access compliant repository in accordance with the NSF public access policy. I'd like to emphasize that we will follow the NSF process of merit review for proposals received to this solicitation. Proposals will be reviewed by a merit review panel, and the program directors may request additional ad hoc reviews for a project as appropriate. The proposals will be reviewed according to the intellectual merit and broader impact review criteria. In addition, reviewers will be asked to consider solicitation-specific review criteria found in the solicitation. NSF will conduct the panels, but VMware team members will attend the panels as observers. NSF and VMware will meet to discuss the proposals and decide whether to have a virtual reverse side visit for the top-rated projects. In a reverse site visit, individual teams are called upon to answer questions and concerns raised by the reviews, the NSF program directors, or the VMware partners. NSF and VMware jointly will make the final funding decisions. The solicitation specific review criteria include the following. It's going to be the extent to which the project has a systems perspective and result in a coherent whole that is more than the sum of the parts. We do not want to see individual research topics stapled together. We'd like to see include an evaluation through demonstrations and prototypes of components and eventually at system level. To feature lean, well-integrated teams of researchers and demonstrate concrete plans to impact the broader industry and use existing components and infrastructure where appropriate. Do not reinvent wheels. Justify your choices, especially when developing new infrastructure. Projects will be funded jointly by NSF and VMware through separate NSF and VMware funding instruments. Project may receive supplements from either NSF or VMware. And NSF expects that the entire of all awards will be used to support the proposed work. NSF and VMware will work together to jointly manage the NSF-VMware partnership projects while following guidelines and regulations governing each party. NSF and VMware will designate a program director for each partnership award. The program directors will jointly oversee the execution of the project. VMware will work with NSF to be an active participant, such as advising researchers on technical issues and industry context. With NSF, VMware will conduct annual on-site reviews and may invite attendees to site visits at VMware, accepting invitations to attend site visits at the awardees' institutions and potentially hosting student interns. VMware may separately fund its own personnel to directly support the NSF-VMware partnership research, either part-time or full-time with the institution awarded projects. Note that there are requirements for the project title, and I've also listed the expected supplementary documents. Please read the solicitation carefully and take a look at the NSF PAPG 2020 for overall guidance on writing NSF proposals. Again, the deadline, 5 p.m. on submitter's time on November the 4th, 2020. And now you can submit questions to the Q&A tab, and we will make every effort to answer. Okay, so I have a question here. I'm wondering if optical technology, such as silicon photonics and optical switching, is of interest to this program. Thanks. And Chris, could you answer this?
Sure. Pardon me, Gurdeep.
I can take it, Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. So as we mentioned in this presentation and the solicitation, focus exclusively on hardware-specific approaches would be out of scope. So that includes optical technology, silicon photonics, and optical switching.
Okay. Given the size of the award, is the proposal expected to target more than one research vector? And with that, I would say that we certainly leave it up to the proposers to decide which one or more than one research vector to do, given the opportunity you have within the budget. So the next question, are industry academic partnerships in scope? If so, we assume that confidential information disclosed by industry partners will stay confidential. Gurdeep, might you want to answer that?
Chris has his hand up, so if he wants to.
Okay. I'd love it if you answered, talk a little bit about the confidentiality of NSF proposal information. But broadly speaking, in order to increase impact of this program, certainly industry academic partnerships are welcome.
Right. So industry, yeah. So as Chris said, that the industry academic partnerships are welcome. And in terms of confidentiality information, so we expect that all of the results that are coming out of this is going to be published and are going to be made open. So that's if you read through the solicitation as well as the, so that's what is expected out there. In terms of the agreement which the university may have with an industrial partner, if they have one-on-one agreement in terms of how they are maintaining the confidentiality, yet trying to also make sure that all of the research that's done under this is made public, that you have to sort of navigate on there. But from the NSF side, we are expecting that all of the results that come out of this funded work are going to be made public.
The next question, are proposals expected to include or address building a user community for production infrastructure based on the software layer components? So how are the infrastructure, CPU, GPU, storage, supports, server components needed to do this expected to be provided? I guess I will answer and let someone else all then add to it. Each proposer is to decide which part do they want to build, and if user community is one aspect of which you would like to have for broader impacts, that certainly is something which you can do. We are just not laying out any expectations of what we expect to see on that, other than to meet the research requirement of the proposal solicitation.
Yeah, again, many of these, I just want to add to these, you sort of need to see, we're looking at both intellectual merit and broader impacts, and this clearly some of this comes under the broader impacts category, building the community, and you have to see within the scope of the project and the budget, what are the set of activities that you can meaningfully engage in, and based upon that, propose your activities.
The next question is use of VMware software components in any way required to respond to this solicitation? And I will just say the answer to that is no, not required. VMware software components are not required for this solicitation. So here's another question regarding intellectual property. So all intellectual property must be made public. Is this correct? Contrary to NSF, normally allows grantees to retain principal legal rights to intellectual property developed under NSF grants to provide incentives for development and dissemination of inventions, software, and publications that can enhance their usefulness, accessibility, and upkeep. What is the motivation for this change? You mentioned the last one. Would you want to respond to this?
Yes. So again, we are not changing the NSF policy. We are trying to say, only thing I was trying to mention in that, yeah, the IP is whatever the normal policy that we have where the universities do retain the right to any kind of inventions. All it's trying to say is that the results on the publications that are from the research results that are expected, they should be in public domain, is what. So it is no different from any of the other standard grants.
Actually, Gurdeep, are you sure about that? We had actually, in order to achieve broader dissemination of the results, we did intend that the research results be dedicated to the public. So there's a special section in the solicitation with that detail.
I mean, we refer to the solicitation, and that's what we will need to follow. The next question, for collaborative proposals, are you expecting each institution to submit separately, or should this be structured as subaward? You can have each submit separately as collaborative proposals. They do not need to be structured as subawards. Question, what's with the size of the award? Is it mainly targeted at large project teams across multiple disciplines and institutions? Maybe Victor, would you like to respond to that?
This is not expressly required. It would be up to the proposers. Obviously, the work proposed would be commensurate to the value. So no, it is not required or important. It is up to the PIs.
Okay, a question about how important it is to have VMware collaborators on the project? Would they be a conflict of interest in the review process? So you wouldn't, I will say that any collaborator you have would be a conflict of interest in the review process, and VMware would not themselves, personnel would not be collaborators.
You know, just commenting, there are two questions in here that relates to fairness during the proposal process. And I think it's important, you know, I think we intend to release information equally and would not provide any one team with preferential collaboration. So just to be clear on that.
Question, environmental sustainability for digital infrastructure includes not only research on computing issues, but can also include other areas such as power grid life cycle and policy. Are there expectation limits on the balance of the proposed project? I will start by just saying that the expectation is that it is centric to software for the research problems. If the project mostly covers such things as power grid, other areas, then it's considered out of scope. These other areas can be part of the problem of which you're considering, but the emphasis and the primary objective are looking at innovations in software for dealing with environmental sustainability. There's a question, is the focus mainly on traditional data centers, or it includes also sustainability of cloud edge infrastructure? Certainly, you look at what are, you know, through the software stack, what are innovations you can have to improve sustainability. So cloud edge infrastructures, I believe would be a place that where some things can do. It'll be your choice to decide what problems that you would like to emphasize. The question, given sustainability, computing is the focus of CNRS core programs. Can you describe a project in scope for this call, but not in scope for core programs? I think certainly some of the problems of which you may want to submit for answering this call could also be considered core projects. On the other hand, these projects can go up to $3 million over 3 years, which is certainly not something of which the core supports through its medium or large programs. So that would be something which it should be something of that would be in the scope of such a program size as this. Let me see. One asked, could we please send us a copy of the attendee list so that we can identify potential collaboration opportunities? Thanks. I don't think that's something that we're could provide out, and some of the attendees may come in as anonymous. So I don't think we can do that. See, so one other one, follow up on the optics question. Can we explore new optical hardware-based design components and their integration with software to optimize sustainability? And can we explore how existing optics-based DC cluster designs can leverage software help to improve sustainability? Maybe I'll ask again, perhaps Victor, would you like to respond?
Yes, and thank you for that question. This is a good clarification to make. While research and advances in hardware, including optics, is not in scope, exploiting advances by software is in scope. So, if by exploring new design means exploring ways, software-based ways to exploit advances in hardware, then yes, that is in scope. Exploring new design of hardware is not in scope.
Okay. Okay, so I have a question here regarding, it says, so section 730 of NSF 2151, July 2002, chapter 7 contradicts everything is public aspect of solicitation. See chapter 18 of title 35 of the commonly called the Bay Dole Act. I will ask us to get further clarification on anything and make this answer available. It should be available when we put up all of the information regarding this webinar. So that'll be something which I think we'll have to come back to later, unless you're a deep person, you have an answer.
Yeah, I think, we, as Matt said, we'll come back to you on this one, but as far as this particular solicitation is concerned, it specifically indicates that everything that all of the awardees will agree to dedicate to the public all intellectual property resulting from the research funded under these awards. So that's what the award conditions are as far as this particular solicitation is concerned. And we will have further clarifications on the question that was just posed.
Okay, here's another question. See, it's difficult to see environmental sustainability and carbon reduction meaningfully addressed without significant interaction with hard, software infrastructure. While solicitation is focused on software components, how much coupling to existing hardware control and optimization can be included without crossing over into hardware-specific territory? Perhaps, I don't know, Chris, would you like to respond to that? Or I could.
It's a tricky question. You know, leveraging advances in hardware in order to have better software control is a great opportunity. I think the intent here was not to have proposals that are focused on hardware related research and hardware specific advances. So we believe there are a lot of opportunities at the software layer, and really our goal was to focus on software layer control as opposed to new hardware developments. So there can be some coupling. How much is a judgment call, but the intent of the solicitation is to focus on the software layer.
Okay, and another question is, the number of awards strictly limited to two, or could it be more than two depending on requested budget from projects? I guess I would answer that the expectation it'll be two. It's the expectation is what we think, but other than that, Pradeep, would you say anything other than that? I think the expectation is two, and that's what we would think.
That's what the expectation is. And clearly, if it was the case that there were three that were of interest, or maybe there's only one that is of interest, so things can change based upon availability of funds, but that's what the expectation is right now.
And another says, will you post the webinar slides? And my expectation is that's something that we normally do. So I believe they will appear at some point coming up. Another question coming in is, are there any guidelines on an experimental platform to demonstrate the value of the proposed ideas? Can they be specific to the proposed project and use the resource PIs have access to, or is there expectation that they'll be part of the proposed ideas that should be demonstrated on a common experimental testbed in the cloud? Can PIs provide letters from other NSF projects and industry collaborators for resource access? So,
I'll mention that the solicitation, you know, encourages people to use NSF-sponsored cloud testbeds, and there are several that are mentioned in the solicitation. You know, we at VMware hope to provide a limited amount of internal experimental, you know, cloud resources, and we'll determine what we can do at a later time. We also may be able to provide some measurement data that can be useful. So meanwhile, we're hoping that the teams have some empirical data of their own, and if they're working with other companies or partners, you know, certainly those letters are welcome, and you know, I think that's all very much in scope for the intent of this solicitation to have broader impact.
I suspect there's a tiny bit of confusion on the slide that said zero letters of general support. So I think the subtlety here is that we do not want letters that simply say, this is a great research topic, we support them looking at this. The letters of collaborative support will typically provide some actual tangible support, whether it's person time or resource access or something like that. And those are great. But the letters we don't want are the ones from people who say, this is a great idea, I hope they're successful.
Okay, there's a couple more questions coming in. Are there any existing data sets from VMware that PIs may use to motivate the project or propose solutions? I think that there's nothing that's to be made other than what's already public. And so I would suspect there's nothing that's out there right now in advance of your solicitation, in advance of your proposal submission.
Yeah, internally, we've identified a number of opportunities, but we do hope that proposers will bring forward their own data and identify their own opportunities during this proposal period here. And there was a related question about, whether or not any such data would be released equally to all proposals. If we were to do so, certainly it would be made available to all of these proposers, but there is not any intention to do so at this time.
Here's a question. Letter support for NSF proposals are restricted in the current guidelines to specific generic phrasing. Will this proposal allow more detailed letter support not normally mentioned? No, you're only allowed what the PAPG has. And basically, you can have no letters of support at all, but you can have letters of collaboration as specified in the NSF PAPG. And it says a lot of existing solutions have individually focused on different aspects of the call. One thing that's missing is a combined solution across the full stack. Is that specifically what the call is looking for? For example, several renewable powered solutions have already been proposed and researched and even implemented to some extent. Parasol Micro Data Center at Rutgers, for example. I would just say that we're not specifying what your innovation is. You can look at different aspects or across the full stack. It'd be your choice of what is your solutions you'd like to make. And Victor, would you like to also answer?
Sure, I just wanted to draw the attention to one paragraph in the solicitation where it says the solicitation seeks proposals that tackle game-changing sustainability opportunities. So it's really about the big impact, significant impact, something that is clearly has not been developed yet. And whether it is a full stack or kind of two-thirds of the stack, it's up to the proposers.
Okay, I think we have tried to address all the questions that have come up. And with that, I think that we're ready to close the webinar. Any final word, Gurdeep?
No, so yeah, I just want to sort of thank all the participants for tuning in and listening to the webinar, and want to also thank all of the team members from VMware as well as NSF who made the presentation. As Matt said, that we will try to assemble all of the responses and come back with any clarifications that we have that will be posted on the program webpage. So. Thank you once again.
Yes, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.